GameZillaMedia.com.
It's time for the Last Action Podcast!
Pop quiz, hotshot!
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker!
I feel the need for speed!
If speeds, we can kill it.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Come with me if you want to live.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Last Action Podcast. I am LPJ, and I'm joined by a man who bought a semi-truck because he was tired of regular hookers, and he wanted to see what truck stop hookers were like. Well, Hovercraft Joe, how were they?
Other than the trucking part, that like barely ties into the movie at all.
I mean, you guys wrestled.
They arm wrestle. Oh, you know what?
You were okay. Using your arms.
I'm going to ignore that opening. Not one of your best. So we're talking about over the top. LBJ, this is a you suggestion.
It is.
I got to say, I'm not happy about it.
I'm okay with that.
I finished watching it like an hour ago.
Okay.
I got thoughts on it, but we'll get to it. This movie is released February 13th, 1987. I can say that I knew this movie existed. I had never seen it before, I knew it was about arm wrestling. And there's a episode of How Did This Get Made about this movie, and that's the extent of my knowledge. So. And I watched it on Stupid Tubi.
Me too, so I can't complain about that. All right, well, I had seen bits and pieces of this movie, and it's you end up seeing clips of it all the time. Like it pops up on various things, but I'd never seen the whole thing all the way through, start to finish. It turns out I've seen more of this movie than I realized, though. Like as I was watching it, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that part. Oh, now this part that I saw that this one time makes more sense, you know, stuff like that. Not that this movie makes a whole lot of sense to begin with, but my point is I've now seen this movie start to finish for the first time, and it was an experience.
All right. More on that later. So let's get into some of the numbers for Over the Top. This movie has a budget of $25 million and then goes on to gross $16 million.
I love that it's $25 million and 12 went to Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I mean, because like it's not like there's a lot going on in this movie that would be like expensive. They drive a truck around and then they go to an arm wrestling tournament like for 15 minutes.
That's true. Although they did like put on that arm wrestling competition for real. And
why?
That I don't know, but that's what they did. They started this arm wrestling competition as sort of build up to the movie, and then they use the competition so they could film the final scenes of it in Vegas.
All right. Well, that makes sense, I guess. Right. So the Rotten Tomatoes for this is a surprising 32%,
okay,
which is obviously higher than the 9% that Beverly Hills Cop 3 has, and 32% higher than the 0% that Death Warrant has very justifiably so. And then the audience score on this is 50%, so right down the middle for the audience score. Okay, top grossing movies of 1987. Oddly enough, everyone knows we record two movies in the same night. We're doing another movie from 1987 later.
We're not only doing another movie from 1987, we're doing another movie from 1987 that is kind of ancillarily related to canon films.
Yes. So there you go. A little teaser for next week's episode. Okay. So the top grossing movies, this always baffles my mind. The top domestic in-year release movies. Number one is Three Men and a Baby. Number two is Fatal Attraction. And number three is a movie that we've covered on the podcast, Beverly Hills Cop 2. This movie, Over the Top, comes in 68th in the domestic box office. What's funny is I forgot to actually write that on this. So I had to pick up my notes for the next episode to see what number Over the Top was.
That's funny. It's, that's crazy that it was 68 and it had only, what would you say, 16 million?
16 million, yeah.
Wow, that's kind of a low year, I think, box office.
Well, 87, you got to figure, even, I don't have it in front of me, but you, I mean, numbers are going to be lower in general.
That's fair.
Other movies we have covered, and it's a pretty sweet year for movies. Other movies we have covered on this podcast include number 9, Lethal Weapon, number 12, Predator, number 16, RoboCop, number 19, The Living Daylights, number 30, The Running Man, and number 65, Masters of the Universe.
Wow, that's a solid year, right?
Yeah, no, those are some iconic action movies. The original RoboCop, Running Man, Predator, Lethal Weapon, like...
Sure, Masters of the Universe, another canon classic.
Yeah, canon was really pumping out the movies this year. So it's I kind of thought we would have done more movies from this year, but they are all like very well known. Like
we did a lot around this time frame too. So like 88, we have a lot, I think. And
well, yeah, we've talked about it like 92, 91, 90, 89. Yeah. Like that's really this like whole the range. Sweet spot.
Yeah, I'd say like 86 to like 92 is kind of the bulk of our films.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously this movie stars Sylvester Stallone. The only other people in it that I could tell you were Robert Loggia.
Yep.
And Terry Funk.
That's it.
I didn't really have anybody else of note.
I mean, Susan Blakely is like a more of a TV actress. Mm-hmm. But she was the mom, Christina Hawk. Okay. Other than that, it's actually just like a bunch of professional arm wrestlers that are in this and Terry Funk.
And Terry Funk. And it was funny because at first I didn't clock him as Terry Funk. I was like, oh, that's the guy from Roadhouse.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh yeah, the guy from Roadhouse is Terry Funk.
Okay. So believe it or not, I only have one net worth.
I can't imagine.
And it's good old Sly Stallone. He's got that sweet, sweet Demolition Man money. What do you think, LPJ, for someone we've done on the podcast?
Oh, yeah.
So many, many, many times.
He's got that sweet, sweet Copland money.
Well, if you were going to quote a line from the Copland trailer, a movie I never saw, but a trailer I saw a lot, could you think of what I'd want you to say?
No, I can't. Not off the top of my head.
I want you to be like, I gave you a shot and you blew it. It's De Niro says it to him in the trailer. Anyways, go ahead. Watch the Copland trailer. Anyways, what do you think?
We just did this. We just covered him too.
We covered him a million times on the podcast.
$650
million. $400 million. Like, did you pick this movie? Because, like, this could potentially be our last Stallone movie. And, like, because we ended on a whimper with Arnold, you wanted to end on a whimper with Stallone.
I mean...
I guess that's, like, the problem of, like, front-loading all the very, like, iconic movies.
Right, I mean, because, like, what other Stallone movies are out there that we haven't done that are iconic?
Well...
Or maybe other than the Rocky movies.
I was just going to say, a friend of the podcast, Freakin' Gus Jody, pointed out that if we were going to do this movie, which is essentially not an action movie, we could have done like Rocky IV.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Maybe we still will. We've got like 9 episodes left after this.
We got like 9 episodes and like 4 or 5 of them are planned.
So, you never know.
We got a lot of wiggle room.
Sure.
Okay.
Crap, that's not a lot of wiggle room.
So $400 million is him. All right. What do you want to say about the director, writers, that kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, the director is Menahem Golan. So the Golan Globus sort of started the Canon Group, and they kind of brought a bunch of actors in. So they like introduced Jean-Claude Van Damme. Charles Bronson was one of their big stars. Chuck Norris movies are generally all canon films. They did Masters of the Universe, Spider-Man, Superman 4. They tried to make the Spider-Man movie a million times and it didn't work. They've sort of been around making cheap action films forever. And then, you know, canon's sort of synonymous with these types of films, like the Iron Eagles and the Delta Forces and those types of movies.
Masters of the Universe?
Masters of the Universe, yeah. But yeah, he directed this. It's one of the few movies he directed. Like, he did a lot of directing in the early 70s and then sort of tailed off and then just directed kind of random films here and there. Like, he directed Delta Force. He directed this movie. And other than that, like, not a lot after that. He's done some sort of recently from, like, 95 on. He's directed, like, 10 movies. But yeah, other than that. Yeah,
I like that they said that like they kept asking Stallone to be in this and he kept being like no, kept turning him down, but they kept offering him more and more money.
Yeah.
So eventually he was like, oh yeah, I'll do it. Why not? No one's gonna see it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy because he signed on for it in like 1984. And they've been working on it since then. And then he just in the meantime had made like Rambo, First Blood 2, Rocky 4, and then finally this came out.
It's kind of, I mean, okay, it's not wild because it's not a good movie, but it is kind of wild that this movie did so poorly with Stallone and like it kind of at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, typically a February release is not good for a movie anyway. But I was trying to think like what else he had other things coming out this year too. I thought in 87. Let me look it up and see real quick. I'm kind of curious what else he had come out in 87. Let me see. Where's his filmography? Right.
Nothing we covered on the podcast.
No, it couldn't possibly be anything we covered on the podcast. Where'd it go? I had his filmography and then I lost it. A lot of dead air. You know what? I don't even care because I think I have a feeling this episode is going to be a little short. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad episode. I'm just saying it might be a little short.
You're the only one to blame because
why? Because I picked this movie?
Yeah, you picked the movie.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. Here we go. All right. So 1987, he had, oh no, just this. That's it. Weird. He had a Cobra was 86. Rambo 3 was 88. And then he had Lock Up and Tango and Cash in 89, and that's really it.
Oh, dang, we did Cobra and Tango and Cash on this podcast.
We did. So the Stallone movies we've done on this podcast are...
The first three Rambos.
Yep.
No, we've done the first four Rambos.
First four Rambos. Yeah, so we did... yeah, we did First Blood, First Blood 2, Cobra, Over the Top, Rambo 3, Tango and Cash... Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, Cliffhanger, Demolition Man, Judge Dredd, Rambo, Expendables 1, Expendables 2, right? We did the second one?
Yeah, we did two. We didn't do the third one. We didn't do three. It's not very good.
We did Escape Plan.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
We did Escape Plan, yep. We did Guardians 2. Did we do Guardians 2?
No, we only did the first.
We did the first one, okay. That might be it.
That's a lot.
That's a ton. Oh, that's a ton of movies, and that's really the breadth of his decent movies, other than the Rocky movies.
That's true. Yeah, I guess the Rocky movies are kind of the main. Like, but you know what?
I'd say like The Specialist is one we haven't done that we might want to cover, or Assassins.
We're not doing The Specialist.
No, you didn't know. You didn't know. We're turning this into just the Stallone podcast. We're going to hit all the rest of them, like Spy Kids 3D. Game over.
No, everyone knows that if we turn this podcast into anything, it's going to be our James Horner podcast, Horny for Horner. Which, by the way, Discord, I did not. I that was my favorite part of recording in a while, and no one even asked us about Horny for Horner. We talked about it for like 5 minutes.
I think no one cares about James Horner like we care about James Horner.
I don't care about him. I just like the pun of the name of the
Horny
podcast.
For Horner. That's fair. Okay.
Because it's like it's horny, so it's funny like in sex terms, sure. But also like he's a composer, so it has a lot of horns in it. So it's okay. Like it works in a couple different levels. Did you have anything about the writers?
Yeah, actually, Sterling Silliphant, he's from Detroit, which is weird. But yeah, he's known for writing the screenplay for In the Heat of the Night, and he won an Academy Award for it, which is a big movie. He also created Perry Mason, a TV show. And was a screenwriter on things like The Towering Inferno, The Poseidon Adventure, and various other movies. He wrote Village of the Damned. He wrote The Killer Elite. Some of the Dirty Harry stuff he's credited for. He's done a lot of different things. He's actually a solid writer. But then Stallone got a hold of it, and he's like, oh, I'm going to change it.
I feel like Stallone does that for all his movies.
He does do that for all of his movies. I think maybe it's for the extra paycheck, too. Because like if he writes enough, he gets the writer credit as well.
Sorry, there was... never mind. You know what? I was distracted by a trivia question that popped up when I was about to tell you the taglines.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure out the answer. So anyways, sure. would you like to know what the taglines are?
Yes.
There's a lot.
Really?
Yes.
It's one of them. It's one of them. Thumbs in.
No. I don't know. Spoiler alert for everyone who listens to the podcast regularly, I read them for the first time on the I like pull it up, but I don't actually go through them. I don't go through them for the first time on the episode. So a little behind the scenes magic.
I don't know that I even do that. All right, keep going.
Okay, first one. Some fight for money, some fight for glory. He's fighting for his son's love.
Oh, he does it all for the power of love. The glory of love. I'm sorry, glory of love.
Driving headlong towards the biggest fight of his life.
You know, it's weird they call the arm wrestling matches fights, by the way.
Yeah, they're not really fights. No. The next one. His name is Lincoln Hawk, and he's fighting for his son. Next one. Lincoln Hawk will fight for his son the only way he knows how. The last one is, last time they drove him from his son. This time there'll be no turning back.
Okay, that's fine. That's good.
I don't know. I don't know if any of them capture the essence of the movie, because like you said, I don't think...
I think it should be like, when I turn my hat, it's go time.
I turn into a machine. Which, by the way, I don't want to like get too far into the plot, but remember when this movie randomly for like just has first person interviews?
Yeah.
Just like randomly just has a couple of first person interviews at the tail end of it for no reason.
Just out of nowhere. With the arm wrestlers at the end, yeah. I think those are the actual arm wrestlers too.
Grizzly?
Yeah.
Oh, Grizzly.
The guy that eats the cigar.
Yeah, and he chugs Valvoline oil.
Oh, yeah. It's stupid.
Oh, boy. This episode's going to be like 20 minutes.
We're good. We're 17 minutes in.
Oh, shit. Okay. Did you have anything specifically you wanted to talk about before the plot?
I'm going to go with... no, I'm good.
I was not a fan of this movie. just throwing that out there. Okay, well, let's get into the plot and see what else shakes out. So this movie starts with Sylvester Stallone driving a truck, a big rig, which it would be a reoccurring theme in this movie. And he's driving...
Well, yeah, because you know he's a truck driver, so I would assume truck driver. That's kind of just a reoccurring theme. That's sort of a main plot point.
He's a truck driver, he's driving around, and they're playing some Eddie Money in the background. And his truck says Hawk Hauling on it. Although, like, presumably he doesn't have his own company, he just, like, wrote that on the door.
Well, no, there's different kinds of truckers. There's truckers that drive for a fleet, and then it's called owner-operators, where they own their own truck, and then they just take jobs and act as independent contractors to haul things.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So if you're part of a fleet, you don't necessarily own your own truck. Maybe you're leasing it from the trucking company. Maybe you're just using their equipment. Or if you're an owner operator, you own your own truck and then you put whatever you want on the side of it.
Gotcha, man. You know a lot about the trucking business.
I do. I'm a big trucking business fan. I subscribe to their magazine, TruckerFortune.com. And I, yep.
Okay, so my next note just mentions that Sylvester Stallone loves suspenders. And I didn't commit to it, but I almost did a visual joke for the podcast where I always put out a pair of the suspenders I own for the recording.
You should have. You should have.
That I was like, it would only be for LBJ's benefit. And like, I don't want to do anything too much for your benefit. So.
You know, before we get too much further, we have fans out there who are truckers who listen to the show here. I'm curious, like, are the suspenders sort of a more comfortable option than a belt? Like, what's trucking protocol? Like, if you've seen this movie Truckers, let us know how it compares to real life.
Also, if you are a trucker, do you have like a machine built into your rig that you can work your one specific arm wrestling arm with, like Stallone has?
Yeah, and if he does it all the time, shouldn't his right arm be way bigger than his left arm?
Maybe. Okay, so he drives his truck to go to pick his son up from military school.
Right.
I was very like, it was so weird. Like, he gets out and he parks the truck, and like, I mean, yeah, he showed up in a big rig, but like, everyone, like, all those lines, like, who's he? What's he doing here? Like, everyone is like, he looked like some kind of like vagabond or something.
Yeah. He was
suspenders
fine.
And a shirt and tie on. Like,
yeah, he was wearing a Kentucky tuxedo. You know, he had the denim shirt on, the suspenders, the denim pants. He was fine.
So he is there to pick up his son, but his son doesn't know because apparently his mom didn't bother to tell him that his dad was going to be picking up.
They've got a weird relationship, the two of them.
Yes.
Like,
they're estranged. But they're not divorced. I felt like they were just separated.
Yeah, but they're not even they're separated, but like they still clearly love each other a lot. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, this will be a good time to address this. It's never explained at all why Stallone left.
Right.
It's implied that it was like cuz Robert Loggia didn't like him, but it's never explicitly explained why he left. Even so much so, and at a point in the movie where his son asks him why he left, he's just like, I had my reasons.
Yeah, and that was it. Like, there were, and then no reasons were given.
It's so crazy that, like, this, like, major plot point of the movie is never fully explained. Like, I feel like they were like, we haven't thought of a good reason. Let's just circle back to it. We'll put it in later.
Yeah.
And then they can never crack it. So the son doesn't know that Stallone's there to pick him up. He doesn't know Stallone because he left when he was really young. I like that he asks him, he's like, can I see some ID? And he just pulls out like the wedding photo of him and his mom. That was pretty funny. I also thought, and like a stray observation, they're walking out to Stallone's car, like the kid's leaving military school and he has one duffel bag and it's not even a big duffel bag. Like, he just has like one bag. Didn't that seem weird to you?
No, only because, one, I've never been to military school, but I would imagine...
You could have used it, though, by the way.
That's probably fair. I don't think I would have done very well, though. I'm not terribly gifted athletically. However, getting back to my point, I would imagine they probably live sort of a Spartan lifestyle there at military school. It's not like they've got a bunch of clothes. They've got uniforms, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then maybe some... you know, military school issued recreational clothing, and that's probably about it.
All right. You know what? That's actually a pretty good explanation.
Thanks,
shit.
Man. Thanks, man. See that? I'm breaking the script all over for you.
Okay. So they're going to drive to California to drop him off with his mom, who's sick with something.
The notes here say heart disease. So maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Yes. They never really. She's supposed to be having surgery. She's really sick. She's in the hospital.
Right.
But they never really tell you exactly what's going on.
Right. And realistically, it doesn't matter what she has. She's got something.
Yes.
She's got something, and it wasn't some kind of weird STD because, you know. Stallone's fine.
Stallone's son, his name is Mike. He sucks. He doesn't like Stallone. He also apparently never got any of the letters. Stallone's like, I wrote you a ton of letters. But he's like, I never got any of them. I have a big question mark about the letters.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get to that when we get there. Okay. So then the kid like freaks out and he tries to run away and he just like runs in the tree, jumps out of the car, where he tells him he's going to throw up and he jumps out of the car and he like runs in the traffic and almost gets hit by like 8 cars.
Yeah. Why not just run the other direction, you know, away from traffic?
Yeah. And then I like that Stallone rips the sleeve off his military jacket accidentally.
Yeah.
And then like the kid continues to wear the jacket with one sleeve for like a long time.
Yeah. It's real weird. I mean, you know, give the kid a second. He's got his duffel bag right there. Give him a second to change his clothes.
Or just take the jacket off.
Just take the jacket off. Something, yeah. He eventually does, but it just takes a minute.
So then we cut to Robert Loggia. He's at the military school, and he's pissed at the colonel because the colonel let Sly take Mike.
Oh, that colonel. Ah, sorry, I was thinking Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, would have been cool if it was played by Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
So then they stop at a truck stop to get food. I don't know why, but one of the things is that the kid knows a lot about like food and different calories.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the point they were trying to make is in military school, they teach them all about proper nutrition. And that's kind of the regimen they built into them is like, you know, the calorie count, the fat content, all that stuff.
Gotcha. All right. That makes sense. Then some dude named Smasher, he shows up and he wants to arm wrestle, Stallone.
Is his name Smasher? No, it's Bull. Yeah. His name's Bull, right?
No. Oh my God.
Oh no, you're right. Smasher's the other guy.
And I hate you.
Smasher's the other guy. Yes.
Main guy. Bull is in the scene.
Yes.
He randomly shows up at the same truck stop, and like he does that weird thing where they're like,
you got sweatshop and truck stop mixed up.
Well, because I was thinking,
what
have
you been doing?
In my note, it says I have a note that says, "What's with the big sweaty dude?" because he walks in, he grabs onto like Mike, and he's like, "How do you know that man?"
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was so weird. So this is when we get the first mention of the term over the top,
yeah,
which apparently is an arm wrestling term that I still don't quite understand.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
like positioning your hand over the top
or like
the other person's hand,
twist the wrist to go over the top. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not sure what it is.
But the big sweaty guy, his name is Bull.
Right.
And we already discussed that the kid's mom is in the hospital and they call him.
Yeah.
So the kid continues to suck. Mikey sucks.
He really kind of sucks the whole movie.
Oh, he does. He sucks the whole movie. He gets okay toward the end. I like that Robert Loggia told Mike that Stallone was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that comes up. He's like, "Oh, are you still dealing drugs?" He's like, "Oh, I don't know how to deal drugs." I don't know. I don't do a Stallone.
Holy shit. I could have sworn he was right there in front of me.
So then they pull over to sleep. They're like, "Oh, we're just going to sleep in the trunk." And it's like, it seems like the most uncomfortable sleep ever.
Yeah, you know, if
it's just in the cab of a truck.
Right. They have trucks that have sleeper cars. Like they have a sleeper section. He just doesn't have one of those.
Which is the one I think he gets at the end.
Oh, yeah, totally does.
Is one that has, like, a sleeper cab in
it. Sure.
Okay, so they sleep uncomfortably in the car. They wake up and they do an exercise montage.
Yep.
And then after that... So then, like... Okay. Oh, God. I fucking hate this movie. So then, like, the kid's, like, basically telling Stallone he's dumb and, like, driving a truck's easy. So then Stallone's just like,
yeah,
all right.
The kid's really an asshole.
So then Stallone's kind of like, all right, well, why don't you just come over here and drive the truck? And he has him drive the semi-truck on the road.
Yeah. It was the 80s, man. Different time.
And he, like...
People barely wore seatbelts. They still had open containers in the car. They still have open containers in the car, but you know what I mean.
He picks it up pretty fast, though, too. But he definitely should not be driving this semi-truck. Okay, so then they stop for food at another place, and Stallone decides to set up an underage arm wrestling match.
Yeah.
between these kids that are there just like playing the arcade games and Stallone's son, who's never arm wrestled before. So he's so sure
he could beat him.
He's so sure. I think Stallone's just trying to bump up his confidence.
Sure.
So of course he loses the first time and he like freaks out because he's a spaz. But then Stallone goes out and like gives him a pep talk and then he wins like two matches in a row.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, he goes over the top. He fixes his thumb, does the whole thing. He goes over the top.
He goes over the top.
Yeah. I would have liked it if the glass would have broke on top of the pinball machine. Like you I put kept, the kid's glass.
I kept thinking maybe it might. Cause I'm like, oh, he slammed too hard. I also like that Stallone bet the kid money, and I like that he still took the money from the kid.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I thought that that was pretty funny. So then, like, they're talking to her mom, the mom again, and, like, Stallone's inside, and he's outside, and two dudes show up and just kidnap him.
Yeah.
And drive off with him, where we later, well, we don't even really officially learn, but we I guess it's implied that they work for Robert Loggia.
Well, you kind of figure it out because he's at one point Robert Loggia's on the phone. He says, "Do whatever it takes."
That's right. Or I think he says, "Like we're gonna have to change our approach." Or
that's
something
what it
like
is.
That.
Yeah. And then the next scene is kidnapping.
Apparently, that means I don't know how they just magically found them on the road, but so they kidnap him. The one kind of beats up Stallone a little bit, but he chases them down, like drives their car off the road. And gets Mike back, and I like that the kids just the guys just like take off. They're like, "We're out of here!"
Yeah,
like
we know when we're beat.
And you like hear the sirens, but the cops never show up. So I don't know what's up with that.
They were going someplace else, you know.
Oh, it's just
incidental to the yeah.
Thank you.
Incidental to the scene.
I was having trouble with words there. Okay, so we learn that Robert Loggia wants custody of Mike, like that's his whole thing because they think the mom's gonna die or whatever, and he's like, "That's the only family I have left. Like, I can't be with that loser. I want custody of him." And the mom's like, "No." So they get to the hospital, and spoiler alert: the mom's dead. She died during surgery, which was, I guess, presumably open heart surgery.
Yeah, and I love that he just walks up and he's like, "I'm her husband. You've never seen me before. Give me, like, your medical information."
They're like, "Ooh, hold on. I got to get the doctor." And they're like, then the doctor comes over. He has a mustache and he's like, "She died."
Yeah. Just like that. Like,
and again, like I still don't 100% know what was wrong with her heart problems. So then Mike gets mad and sad and he runs off and he's like, "Ah, it's your fault." He's like, "If I hadn't driven here with you, I would have been here and seen her before she died," which is true.
Which is all true.
To be very true. Or maybe if they would have stepped on the gas a little bit, not stopped for so many arm wrestling matches.
Sure.
So he gets mad and he gets in a taxi and leaves and goes to Robert Loggia's house. So then we go to the funeral of the mom, and Stallone arrives late to funeral, real late. Drops some flowers on the casket.
Drops some flowers on the casket in the middle of the ceremony. Like, right. In the middle of the funeral. The priest is talking. He just walks up, drops it, and then takes off.
Yeah, and then leaves. He doesn't stay for the whole thing. He just, for that point. So then he goes to Robert Loggia's house. Because Mike's mad at him, and he's like, he wants to see Mike. So he goes to Robert Loggia's house, and they're like, "No, I'm sorry, man. We're not going to let you in. We were told not to let you in." All this stuff like that, right? So then he takes his truck, he backs it up, and he smashes it through the gate of Robert Loggia's house, continues driving, like smashes through a fountain,
yep,
and then like smashes into the front door of Robert Loggia's house.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what happens.
Seems kind of like a dangerous thing to do.
Sure, because she had no idea if Mike was standing right there at the door.
Right. What if he was like, "Oh, Dad's here," and then I'll go get the door for him.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I'll get the door for you and run you over with my truck."
So then he comes in. He goes into the house, and he's yelling, and he's like, "Oh, Mike, where are you, Mike? Oh, see Mike." Again, I don't do a good Stallone.
It was not that bad.
So, like, they come down, and, like, him and Robert Loggia argue a little bit and blah, 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 blah. Then the cops show up and arrest him. Rightfully so.
Oh, 100%. Also, I can't figure, like, I can't quite figure out, like, what Robert Loggia's problem is with Stallone. Yeah. Like, he seemed like a nice, like, Stallone is a nice guy in the movie, generally. He clearly loved his wife. Like, what happened to drive such a huge wedge between the two of them?
I think it was just, I really think it's like a class war thing, because I think that Stallone's like kind of like a poor, like blah, blah, blah. And like, obviously, Robert Loggia is rich. Why he's rich, who knows? I don't know. Is he just like, is he a business? Is he, why is he rich? They don't explain it. But I feel like that's what it's implied, is that like, because he's not like a rich, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Sure. He's not good enough. I don't know.
We don't learn anything about their relationship. We don't know how they met, why they broke up.
Sure.
Yeah. We don't know any of it.
Right. There's nothing there. Yeah.
And I'm like, was any of this like in the script originally and just didn't make it into the movie, or like,
I bet it probably was. They have a tendency, like these guys have a tendency of sort of dumbing down things and just making them as action oriented as possible.
Well, but this movie's not even an action movie.
It's really not, no.
The movie is, let's see, an hour and a half long, and the arm wrestling tournament doesn't start till probably like an hour and 10 minutes into the movie.
That's true. Yeah.
I was like, I sent you and frequent podcast guest The Tush a text last night. I was just like, there's surprisingly little arm wrestling in this arm wrestling movie.
Yeah, there's really not a ton. No, there's not.
Period.
Yeah. That's it. There's really not. Yeah.
Period. End of statement. Yeah. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah. So he gets arrested.
Yep.
So he's in jail. And Robert Loggia's like lawyer comes and is like, hey, we want you to leave the state. We won't press charges, but you got to give up. Like, you're not going to contest custody of Mike. And he's like, well, what does Mike think about it? I got to stop doing my Stallone. Sorry. So, and Mike's there in the prison, and Mike's kind of like, yeah, I kind of think like you should go. I don't think it's going to work out. He's like, what am I going to do? Just like hang out in your truck all the time and not to go to school, which are like fair questions. To be fair.
And I got a feeling Stallone hadn't thought that far ahead anyway.
No, he hadn't. So he tells him, like, yeah, just go. And he's like, okay. So he signs the papers. Then he gets his truck back. He drives to Las Vegas. And then he sells his truck for $7,000. And then he goes to where the arm wrestling tournament is happening.
Yep, in Vegas.
And he bets all the money on himself, $7,000 on himself. He's 20-1 to win. So, yep. Let me just take a deep breath. So then Mike is at the house and he's going through like all the stuff in his mom's room. Why? I don't know. He just is. And in a drawer, in a purse, hidden away, he finds
dildo. He
finds a giant stack of all the letters that Stallone wrote him throughout the years. So I have a question.
Sure.
Stallone wrote all these letters to his son.
Yep.
The mom had them.
Yep.
And was not giving them to him.
No.
But that the main plot of point of this movie is that she's like, you got to get to know your son. You have to go pick him up. You guys got to have a relationship. Why did she hide the letters?
She's a bad mom. Because she's a bad mom, and that's why she got the disease, and that's why she died.
It's like, it's so insane to me, because it seems like the simplest plot point would be like, oh, like Robert Loggia had the letters.
Intercepted the letters and had them.
He intercepted the letters and stopped him from getting them.
Sure.
Not the mom who wanted them to have a relationship. Stopped him from getting the letters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't get that part either.
So he sees the letters. He realizes that, like, oh, man, I do want to hang out with Stallone. So then this crazy sequence events where – I'm just going to run through this, and if I missed anything, you can let me know.
Uh-huh.
So he sneaks out of the house into the garage, steals a pickup truck,
mm-hmm.
drives the pickup truck to the airport.
That's right.
Gets out at the airport.
Yep.
Buys a ticket for an airplane, for a flight to Las Vegas, boards the plane, flies the plane to Las Vegas, gets off. Then he starts to get off at the airport in Las Vegas and sees that Robert Loggia's goons are there.
Mm-hmm.
Goes back up the tunnel, goes down onto the tarmac,
mm-hmm.
hides in a luggage cart.
Yep.
And then rides like the luggage elevator up.
Yep.
And then gets out and takes a taxi to where the tournament is.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly what happens.
Airports, pre-9/11 airports, like, I almost believe that all that could have happened.
I, you know, after watching that and Die Hard and Die Hard 2, I think you're probably right. I think...
But how did he have the money to pay for an airplane ticket?
Well, I don't know. He's probably got cash laid around. He's rich. Robert Loggia, I'm sure, just has like, you know, 10 grand in cash in a drawer somewhere.
Well, and the thing at first was I was like, okay, they live in California. They're probably close. Like, maybe he just drove to Las Vegas, which first of all was insane that this 12-year-old?
Yeah, probably.
Drove a car all this time. Poorly, like he wasn't driving it right and didn't get pulled over at all.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how close they were to the airport. If you'd have to drive that far.
I mean, that's true. But then, like, then he gets to the airport and he goes to the counter and is like, I'd like the first flight to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like the whole sequence of events was insane to me. But anyways, okay. So this part made me actively angry. The tournament starts, and they mention that it's a double elimination tournament.
Yes.
They mention it approximately 9,000 more fucking times in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
That it's a double elimination tournament. Like, I was, like, by the last time they said it, I was, like, so angry. I'm like, stop saying it. Like, why do they have to keep saying it so many times?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and why did it have to be a double elimination? Just so, like, oh, okay. Well, so Stallone could lose and then, like, get a pep talk and then win?
Yeah. However, I don't remember Bull ever losing. Do you? Did they ever mention that?
They didn't mention it. We didn't see all the tournament, but yes, presumably Bull would have had to have lost one of his preliminary matches.
Right, but they mentioned that he's undefeated. Right?
They do mention...
At the end, they mention him being undefeated since 1985 or something.
When they... Yeah, it's like 5 years. So that, you know what? That's a really good point, Knopfner, because if he had never lost in 5 years...
Sure.
Then he...
That Stallone would have had to beat him again.
Then he only lost once.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I just blew your mind, didn't I?
Oh, man.
I gave you one more thing to hate about this movie.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. So, it's a double elimination tournament. I'm skipping through all my notes. It was on my summary of all the stuff. It's like, how has this kid not gotten pulled over yet? How did Mike buy a plane ticket and board a plane? Pre-9/11 airports were wild.
Yep.
And then I have a note that says, hold on, this is a double elimination tournament?
Yep.
So I also thought it was funny that, like, the prize is like $100,000 or something like that, mm-hmm. and a semi-truck.
Well, I'm going to shed some light on that.
Oh, God.
You remember that tournament I talked about at the beginning?
Yes.
To promote the movie, that's what the prize was.
Well, fair enough.
Right.
To promote the movie, makes sense.
But hold on. There is a real truckers division that they have for the arm wrestling tournament. I'm not lying. I read about it. It's a thing.
I fucking hate you right now.
I know. And... most of the footage you see of the arm wrestling tournament is from the actual arm wrestling tournament that they had they filmed all Stallone stuff the next day after the tournament was over. So there's that scene where that guy in the black shirt's wrestling and he breaks his arm. That guy really had his arm broken during the tournament, and they just kept it in the film.
Okay, so...
And the guy that won, I believe, was... I think Grizzly actually was the guy that may have won the real tournament. And, yeah, he won the truck. And in the, what I was reading about it was he drove the truck across country to sort of promote, like, whatever it is he was doing. I don't know exactly what it was. And then he sold the truck and used the money to buy a Corvette.
So, and Grizzly, by the way, is the one who, when he first wrestles Stallone, he eats a cigarette.
Cigar, sorry.
It was
like a whole cigar.
And then before him and Stallone's second match is when he's just chugging a big thing of oil.
Motor oil. Like literal motor oil.
Like it's a big can of Valvoline.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Okay, but let me back up for a second. Fair enough. It was the prize to promote the movie. I get it. He's a trucker in the movie. And yes, there's a trucker division, so that car would be appealing if you were from the trucker division. But they're not all truckers in the tournament, so it seems kind of convenient that that's like the prize is something specifically that Stallone needs because he just sold his truck.
Oh, totally. You're not wrong.
Like, what if you were not in the trucker division and you won that truck? Like, sweet, I now own a semi-truck?
Well, you'd sell it. I mean, it's an expensive-ass truck. I think they were like... $200,000, $250,000 for that truck.
So then we get to the semifinals. And that's when we get all the, like, out of nowhere first person interviews, like the Office style first person interviews with all the people in it, which is so weird. Yeah, and then, like, then he's wrestling Grizzly and he loses the first match. Also, I thought it was crazy that when Mike was, like, running through the airport, like, the arm wrestling tournament is on, like, all the TVs at the airport. Like, arm wrestling is such a big deal in 1987 that it's on every airport TV.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I don't get that either.
So anyways, yeah. So Stallone loses to Grizzly. And then Robert Loggia is there, and he's like, hey, I want to talk to you, Stallone. And he's like, listen. He's like... I'll give you this new truck down there. I'll give you $500,000 to just leave. And someone's like, I already signed the papers. And he's like, I don't know. He's just like really worried that he's gonna take Mike because he doesn't. They never even talk about the fact that like he's never like, oh yeah, by the way, Mike ran away from home and flew here by himself. Like that never comes up.
No. And he's already signed the papers. Like at that point. What's it matter?
Yes, he signed the papers. He signed the custody. Like, I'm not going to contest custody. Right. So, but he does get to beat up Terry Funk, though, because Terry Funk stopped him from leaving, and he just knocks him through a glass door. Okay, so the note now says, stop fucking reminding us it's a double elimination tournament.
Clearly it didn't matter.
And then Grizzly's drinking oil, but Mike arrives at the competition, and he gives like he gives him a pep talk. No, wait, I just watched this movie an hour ago, and how am I remembering what happens? Does he see that Mike's there? Yes.
Yeah, he sees Mike there.
He sees Mike's there, and then he beats Grizzly. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they get into the semifinals. No, they get into, they're like, now we're into the finals. And I was confused because there's still four people left
right,
in the
right.
finals, which didn't really make sense. This tournament is fucked, by the
way. It's weird. It's a weird tournament.
So so then he goes, I like the guy that he goes to play in the last round of the tournament.
Uh-huh.
The guy was so mad that Stallone beat him.
Yeah.
Like, Stallone beat him really fast. He's just like, boom, and beat him. And that guy was so mad. He's like, oh, he cheated. I wasn't ready. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then they're getting ready for the final, even though we're already in the finals, the final match, which is between Stallone and Bull, the undefeated Bull. And Mike now gives Stallone a pep talk and is like, hey, I want to stay with you. Like, it's really weird. It's almost like they're getting together, like, romantically. Yeah. Like, I feel like the movie's kind of structured like a romantic comedy, or like,
it really is. Anyway. Yeah, it is.
So he's like, oh, I want to stay with you. And he's like, oh, well, I gotta, what are we going to do? And he's like, well, you're going to win the tournament. And he's like, oh, no, I missed my arm up that last match. And then, like, Solon's constantly walking around with a towel on his arm. And I'm like, what's that towel doing?
Keep his arm warm? I don't know.
So, okay. What? Can you explain to me?
Probably not.
Fair enough. Can you explain to me what happens in this last match that leads to them having to strap their arms together?
Their hands are sweaty and it slips out.
Okay. So they strap their arms together and then, like, Stallone wins.
That's it. That's it. It's a prolonged arm wrestle. Like,
yeah. For an arm wrestling match. Sure. By the way, I mean, like, so like a prolonged arm wrestling match, it's like, I don't know, like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But he wins. He gets the money and the truck. And then the final scene is just him and Mike leaving the hotel, leaving in the truck.
That's it.
But they don't really, this movie doesn't even fucking take the time to resolve the Robert Loggia thing.
Right.
Like, Robert Loggia is in the crowd. He watches Stallone win the match, and he sees, like, him and Mike, like, connect and blah, blah, blah. And you kind of see, like, on his face, he's like, oh, I got to let him stay with his father. But it's not expressed at all.
No, no. There's no resolution between the two of them.
They one of the things I read said that, like, you can barely see. They said, like, in the wide shot of the end of that when they're walking over the hotel, that, like, you could see, like, that Robert Loggia was there as if they were, like, talking to him before they left.
Yeah.
But, like, put that in the movie. Right. Like, it's like so insane that, like, the main, what the basically, like, plot point B of this movie is Robert Loggia wanting to keep custody, and then, like, they don't even resolve it as
right.
much
as, it's like, just, like, it's just hanging. Like, they have no, yeah, you're right, there's no resolution to it whatsoever. There's no conversation between the two of them. He just lets them drive off.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And this is just a side note to the movie. What was really annoying is that my Tubi decided to make me sit through 6 commercials. Like, literally, it was like, you know, like, ad break approaching.
Yes.
And it happened right before they showed them walking out of the hotel.
Yes, same. Same thing.
And then it was like, it literally comes back, and there's like a minute and a half of the movie left.
Yes. Same thing.
Because that's it. They get in the truck and they drive off, and there's no, like, oh, like, they're like, I guess he's going to open a trucking business, but, like, I don't know. Like, it's very unresolved.
Yeah, that's it. That's how it ends.
That's so mad. That's the end. Yeah. Fucking shit. All right.
I have one role reversal.
Ooh, and I read about this. Go ahead.
It was they originally wanted Don Johnson to play Lincoln Hawk, and he's like, nah.
He's like, I'm busy recording the voice of Lieutenant Falcon in G.I. Joe the movie.
Yeah. Spoilers. Yeah.
That's just a fact. That's not a spoiler.
And making Miami Vice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I pulled up, like, the facts and stuff, but I didn't really see anything that was, like, super interesting.
Nothing really.
I mean, yeah, you talked about the real life tournament. It says that the truck from this movie appears in the movie The Wizard. Yep. So, like, look out for that.
The crappy truck.
Yeah, the crappy truck. Yeah, Don Johnson was the second choice. Yeah, that's about it. I like all the cameos are just all, like, the actual arm wrestlers. And it's like, I don't know if that counts as a cameo.
I mean, it kind of does. I don't know. I got nothing. All right, you want to trade this thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Do you want me to go first or you to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Oh. I
sorry. Go first.
I'm just really excited.
Okay.
This movie sucked. Like, I did not like this movie. I did not enjoy this movie at all. It's like, I don't even know what the fuck this movie is, because I went into it and I'm like, I knew what the plot was, but I was like, oh yeah, it was like, this movie's like 70% arm wrestling, like 30% like Stallone and his kid. Oh, no, it's the opposite of that. There's so little actual, like, there's the arm wrestling, the two arm wrestling matches in the two different diners, and then the tournament at the end, which is like maybe 20 minutes of an hour and a half movie. Like, it's insane. And like whatever, like, not every movie is going to be like an Oscar winner, but it's like the plot points that they don't explain in this movie are insane. Like, they don't explain why Stallone left his family, why is the mom sick, why did Robert Loggia give up, why did, like, all the stuff that they don't explain. It's not just like nitpicky stuff. It's like, it just doesn't, it doesn't, like, it makes the movie make no sense. The kid's annoying in it. I there's nothing I can say about it that I would say was enjoyable. I'll give it one machine gun.
No, I hear your points.
Oh, fuck you.
I hear your points. None of it makes sense. It's a weird movie. I didn't hate it as much as you did, though. I'm not going to say it's great. I don't know that I would recommend people see this movie other than for the sheer spectacle of how weird it is. But I don't think it's unwatchable also. Like, it's, we've seen way worse, far more unwatchable movies than this.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's fair, but like, I felt like where I'm at with it is, sure, that it wasn't like enjoyably bad. It was, okay, just bad. Like, we've watched worse movies than this, 100%.
Sure.
But they've been like so bad it's fun, or like whatever. This,
some of them have not been.
Well, oh yeah, but anyway,
look, I'm not going to give this a huge score. Let's not be crazy here. I'm going to say it's kind of middle of the road. I'm just going to say it's just 2.5 machine guns. Nothing great, nothing terrible. It's free. It's a weird movie.
That is too high. That is too high. This is not a middle of the road movie. This is where I wish we had, like, in front of us. Let's blame Jody for never finishing his list of all the rankings, because, like, I feel like there's probably some movies that you would 100% agree are way better than this that you've also given 2.5 to.
Probably. That's fair.
I think you're a little high, maybe a little low. I maybe could have went 1.5. 1.5 was where I top out at this. This movie is nothing. I can't, like, it's fine. It's gone. Like, I can't, like, what, why would I recommend someone watch this? Like, what would be the redeeming element? Like, oh, you gotta see Grizzly drink a can of motor oil? Like,
it's kind
of
weird.
I can't think of any reason, like, to recommend this. I can't even be like, I'll watch it, you'll laugh because it's so dumb. Like, it's just a bad movie.
Okay. That's it. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm not gonna counter your points. It's your opinion of it.
2.5 is a ludicrous score to me. But anyways, you know what? The podcast is ending. Yep. I would quit because of this.
This is the one. This is the one that's going to drive us apart. Over the top.
Over the top.
All right. Plugs.
Okay. So the first thing I would like to plug is the 1986 cartoon series Silverhawks.
Sure.
Because
wings of silver, nerves of steel.
Partly metal, partly real.
Yep.
And that LPJ owns the whole collection on DVD.
DVD, yeah.
And that there's they have a hawk that's named Tally Hawk.
Correct.
The other thing I'd like to plug, because we're recording this on Friday the 13th, is I would like to plug our boy Jason Voorhees.
Sure.
He's been out there killing peeps.
Yep.
For a long time, since 1980. Doing his thing. We haven't seen him in a while, but you know what, Jason, I hope you get a comeback soon. Like, I want another Friday the 13th movie. Here's the thing, that remake they made was pretty good.
It, like, wasn't bad.
I kind of liked that one.
I liked it too.
Remember when we were like, why didn't we cover that instead of Jason X?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a big mistake, but yeah. So I just,
and now we'll never get the chance.
Now we'll never get the chance unless, that,
although
remake
we do need a Halloween episode.
We do need a Halloween, but we discussed doing Dollman versus Demolition.
We did. I don't know.
Goes the Weasel.
We'll see.
We'll see how available that movie is.
Yeah, that is true.
That could be the real question of it. But yeah. Anyways, I just want to throw a plug out to Jason Voorhees. We've only done two of your movies. We did Freddy vs. Jason, and we did Jason X. Not sure why we didn't do one of his good movies. But anyways, I just want to plug because it is Friday the 13th.
Great. I guess I'll plug the Discord. And I'm going to plug the Discord for a specific reason because I have an actual plug. My friend Matt Tanzik wrote a... he wrote and created an RPG, a desktop RPG, called Rust Belt. And right now he's entered into a contest to have it officially published and make it a reality. There's a link on our Discord for you to go in and vote for it, to him, for him to potentially win the People's Choice Award. So yeah, it's called Rust Belt. The link's in Discord. Go to our Discord. If you go to our Instagram page, you can find the Discord link and join Discord, or hit me up on Facebook and whatever you can. Yeah, join Discord and vote for Rust Belt on this RPG tournament website. I would really appreciate that. He would really appreciate that. And it's a fantastic game. We're actually going to play it regardless, but we would like everybody to experience it because it's pretty fantastic. We enjoyed it. It's based in a D20 system, so similar to 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. So it's not a very difficult system to learn. It's pretty universal, and it's easy to learn how to play. That's it. That's all I got.
Did we make it to an hour?
Yeah, we're good. We're like right at an hour right now. We did it, guys. We did it. Congratulations. We did it.
Episode 289?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, all right. I think we're good.
Sweet. Well, this episode of the Last Action Podcast has gone over the top.
But we'll be back.